everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are talking about good old mom and dad. A while back, we recorded a podcast about how our kids benefit from RV travel. Now we are turning the microscope onto ourselves. How have we grown as individuals, parents, and a couple over the last 5 years of hitching up and heading out to the campground? Listen to find out.
And we have an interview with the inspiring couple who got us thinking about this topic in the first place. David and Veronica James, a.k.a. the Gypsy Nesters, bought an RV and hit the road after their three kids flew the coop. We invited them on the show to share their funny stories and wonderful advice to us parents who are still in the thick of it.
All of this and so much more on episode 38 of RV Family Travel Atlas, the family road trip. What's in it for mom and dad?
So before we head into this week's featured topic, the family road trip, what's in it for mom and dad, Stephanie wanted to walk us through the RV FTA news roundup.
Well, I wanted to point everybody to a couple of maybe interesting articles to read.
Written by us.
Right.
Floating out there on the internet.
Admittedly. Okay. So on the Good Sam blog last week? About a week ago now, right? You wrote a post, which is why a travel trailer might be right for your family.
Oh, it bounced right? all over the internet.
Yeah, I think they all do, honey.
Yeah,
they
Ellen DeGeneres talked about it on her show. It got a retweet from Shaquille.
Kid president.
It got a retweet from Shaquille O'Neal.
All right. So then also on the KOA blog, which is The Greater Outdoors.
The Greater Outdoors right? blog.
We had an article called 7 Rules for Rainy Days at the Campground.
Right. Hot article.
Yes. And now already we did a podcast called Pros and Cons of a Travel Trailer. So if you didn't listen to that one, go back, listen to the podcast episode Pros and Cons of a Travel Trailer.
And if you're one of those listeners out there thinking about buying a travel trailer, you best go back and listen to that podcast.
Right.
Because we break it down for you.
And then this also on the Good Sam blog was sort of another, article for you.
Kind of just working through that theme again. And it's worth saying we really do want to do an ongoing series, Pros and Cons of a Class C. Pros and cons of a toy hauler. And we are definitely going to continue that. So we did pros and cons of a pop-up camper.
Yeah.
We did pros and cons of a travel trailer because we've owned those two things.
Yeah.
And then even though we haven't owned a Class C or a Class A or whatever,
we're
doing our research and we're going to talk to people that do and bring them on the show. Mm-hmm. And those were popular episodes
for us.
Well,
the pros and cons of a travel trailer was actually our most popular podcast episode ever, because I think we know that we are talking to families. We're talking to younger families generally, which are in the entry level of the RV, lifestyle oftentimes. And that's where that travel trailer is, right? So people are out
there. It's the sweet spot for the family with kids, young
people
family
are
with
looking
kids,
at travel trailers when they're looking to get into the RV
and
lifestyle.
Travel and look, towable sales are booming right now. So all the industry data that's coming out really shows just strong growth in towables.
So then also the 7 rules for a rainy day at the campground, we'll do a podcast on that topic in the future.
We're waiting for a rainy day
because
we want the pitter patter of rain in the background as we talk about it.
Yeah. And we do really feel like that is something that we've mastered over the last few years. We are not going to stay in a camper all day with 3 cuckoo children.
No, that's insanity.
Right. So it's something that is near and dear to our hearts is telling
people how to handle the rainy day.
It doesn't stop your vacation in its tracks. So head on over to the KOA Greater Outdoors.
Lots of rainy day wisdom there.
Mm-hmm. And look at that. All right. So we had a rally.
We had a really awesome rally, like a ridiculously awesome, fun rally. Right. I can't get over how much fun I had.
Well.
And everybody had fun.
Everybody loved the campground.
The campground, Lake and Wood in Narvon, PA, was gorgeous.
We totally thought
it would be nice, but it was amazing.
Right.
Kiddie pools, indoor pool,
hold on.
Hot tub.
We are going to fully review this campground.
We'll fully review the campground.
Not tonight.
And we're going to do a future feature topic on the whole kind of concept of rallying.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we want to talk about why our – we're going to do a future topic on this, why
right.
our generation doesn't rally and why they should.
Well, okay. But maybe they'll do it – they should do it differently. Let's not get into this. You just like made a statement, right? We're going to talk about why this generation may not rally. And then maybe talk about how our rallies, if we – you know, our generation does get into them, are going to look a little different, and that's
okay. Are you suggesting that we're going to create a new paradigm for family rallies?
When I say we, I don't actually mean like me and you.
No, I think you did.
I'm saying we as a generation, sort of the next generation of RVers. I think it's okay
to... how parents with young children can actually have a rally.
Yeah.
It's kind of typically associated with seniors who
right.
aren't traveling with young kids. We did. There was a slew of kids at this rally,
yes.
man. Everywhere you looked, kids, kids, kids.
Yeah. We did a rally roundup post on our blog. So at rvfamilytravelatlas.com, you can go over there. The last post was on the rally. It's not a campground review. That's coming out very soon. It's already been written. It's out
for
there.
For the Good Sam
For
blog.
The Good Sam blog, right. And it's just not posted yet, so we'll tell you when it is. It has pictures on there to
You'll
just give
the
you an
had.
Idea.
Yeah,
of
and the wide variety of people that we had. We had tent campers, we had hybrid owners, we had Class A owners. It was really cool.
It was.
I enjoyed the heck
fun.
Out of it. And we're gonna be making an announcement in an upcoming podcast about a fall rally.
Mm-hmm.
And about next spring's rally, because
right.
we're just going to jump right on this. We're going to ride the good mojo on this.
We are. By the end of the weekend, first of all, everybody was like crying into their popsicles because they didn't want to leave.
Yeah, I cried into my popsicle.
Yeah, everybody was having their
How do you cry into a popsicle?
Oh, the kids were like, Theo was crying into his popsicle. He was so sad about leaving.
He was
so despondent.
Yeah.
And I had that, like, leaving the pool area on Sunday to pack up. I really did have that wah-wah kind
And of a lot of our ralliers were talking, like, this needs to be a three-day
weekend.
So
that's what everybody was leaving.
They're Everyone's like, well, 3 days next summer.
Next year, we're coming on Thursday. You know, like, everybody across the board, because it was an awesome
So people
spot.
Will have that option. But we'll have announcements about that really soon.
We will. And here's what I want to say about that. First of all, everybody that attended is going to get first
a secret email.
They're going to get first invite, because here's the thing. We really do believe it's going to – first of all, we were really
it was pretty booked out
for us for what we were looking for.
We took all the spaces we reserved and more.
So we're giving the people that came this year –
the chance to get the same site, because everyone loved their sites as well.
Everyone
kind of like wants the same site again, I think.
So we're going to give the information to them. First, then we're going to roll it out next on our newsletter. So if you don't subscribe to our newsletter,
then you're going to miss out.
Go to our website and put in your email and you'll get our newsletter, because those are like our followers. Like, they're the people that, you know, like, they follow us, they read all of our stuff, they get all of our posts, and like, we give information.
They encourage us.
Oh, they send us such nice emails.
They give
us content, right? Like beach camping tips, whatever. So we're going to send it out to our email list, and then we'll do announcement across podcast, Facebook, etc.
So if you thought rallies were not for parents with small kids, think again, people.
Because we do it family style.
We do it family style.
Okay. All right. So
what's next on the RVFTA News Roundup?
Okay.
You had an iTunes review.
No, I don't. I have a letter to
you
read.
You have a nice letter that you wanted to read.
I do. And here's the thing about the letter I want to read. People are going to start to say, oh, she says every letter she reads is the nicest letter.
They might say that, honey.
They might say that.
Because I think you've said that about three times.
Okay. Because here's what I think. I think our listeners are trying to like top each other.
It's competitive letter writing.
It might
be.
I kind of feel right now that it's competitive letter writing.
They take out their quills. You know, they sit in a room of their own.
I say, oh my gosh, look at this email. This is the nicest email. And then that next week,
when
after
that spotted owl delivered that letter last week to the house, I thought, this is over the top.
Admit it, this email.
This was a pretty awesome one.
This was. And I'm going to read it. And it's a little bit lengthy because awesome emails have a lot to say. But Brenda wrote it.
This is not a tweet.
To us.
It's not a soundbite.
No, it's not.
This is not a Snapchat.
And I also want to say before I read it, that when we read these letters, we're not just saying, oh, listen to how cool these people think we are. Part of the reason that we share these experiences and these stories is that it really shows all of our listeners, I feel like. Like, there are so many people out there doing the same thing, right? Loving the same thing with their kids,
right.
Going through the same like struggles in terms of what it takes to travel with kids or figure out how to do this RVing thing. And I think these letters oftentimes just get to the heart of what it is.
You know, it's funny you say that, because one of my favorite things that happened at the rally, and this sounds almost like bizarre and twisted, every time I heard a parent kind of like say something to one of their kids or kind of like half yell at one of their kids about something, like, I was smiling all the time, because it's like, oh my God, other people do this too. Like, I heard one of the parents yelling at one of the kids, "Where's your other shoe?" And I was like, oh my God.
I say that all the time.
It's not only in our home that our children lose a shoe.
All the time.
You know, and it's like, while they were suffering, I was sitting there smiling like, oh my God. Okay. So we're not in this alone.
Yeah.
You know, as RV parents.
Oh my gosh. Experience is so similar across the board. Now, women, I think, are better at getting that, because we do form our own communities where we sit there and we talk about all
that
stuff.
And men scratch their bellies and watch football.
You guys, I think that it is something a little more special for you to be around a bunch of dads and watching dads yell, "Where's your shoe?" Right? That's really important to be around people that are doing the same thing that you are, right? And to feel that sense.
Well, frankly, a lot of my friends don't have kids.
Right. That's
so
a whole.
let me just lay that out there.
Bunny trail.
Yeah. So I'm like an alien to them.
Yeah.
Now.
No. And I think that is for you something that is such a benefit to being around other families that are interested in the same thing that we're doing and everything. So these emails, while they mean so much to us, I also think they mean a lot to all of our listeners too, because it says, oh my gosh, other people out there are experiencing the same thing.
So hit us up with this.
So Brenda wrote, "Dear Stephanie and Jeremy, I wanted to email you to say thank you for everything that you share with us. I found and started listening to your podcast sometime at the end of February. Naturally, I went back and listened to all episodes before February. It was an amazing find. You discuss camping with kids. Three boys. Eureka. I was hooked. We too have three young boys. Our oldest is 8 and we have 2 5-year-old twins. Much of everything you talk about applies to our family. Our story is similar to many. We used to tent, then moved up to a cabin with the kids. Meanwhile, researching a purchase of an RV. My father owns a KOA campground and we visit there, and we would check out all the rigs pulling in and daydreaming, weighing the pros and cons of each. Because we decided we did not want to purchase a tow vehicle that would not fit in our garage, we decided a pop-up was our answer. We ended up upgrading our vehicle to a Honda Pilot first because it has 3 rows and our boys fight in a single row."
We had a bit of that this time. Yeah, like, we had the 3 kids in the pickup truck and there was a little bit of fighting going on. Wes was whacking Theo in the head with a wipe for about 25 minutes.
"In February, we embarked on yet another Chicago RV show adventure. I looked for pop-ups and my wife looked at everything else with a full bathroom and a doorbell. She found a Palomino Solaire 147X hybrid. We signed the sales doc and I had to learn what else I had to add to the Pilot in order to tow. She was beginning to organize and decorate already. Between February and the first weekend of May, I listened to every episode, trying to inhale every detail and lesson you shared, from color-coded e-bags for each family member, Toastite flashlights, axe, to the first camping trip of the season close to home. As I posted on the Instagram, this trip was so valuable. We discovered a number of fairly serious water problems and other minor issues. The dealer quickly fixed it all. I'm so glad we purchased the hybrid. I remember you made a comment to consider a hybrid as opposed to a pop-up. Phew. We simply wanted to express our gratitude for helping the rest of us make our trips easier. It's amazing and exciting how much one has learned when RVing. You both have so many great ideas on camping with kids, routines, meals, the list goes on. I can honestly say all of your product reviews are practical and informative. With a very little reservation, I want to purchase everything you deem as must-have. We are disappointed that we will not be able to join the rally in Pennsylvania this year. We live in Illinois, right outside of Chicago. Trip to PA would need to be longer than just a weekend. Because of all the snow days we had, the end of the school year is in mid-June. We decided not to pull our boys out of school. We did, however, talk about next year. If this becomes an annual event, we are in."
You better believe it.
All right. And she said, you know, "Thank you so kindly, Brenda and Heidi." So that was just... I think that them expressing all of those steps that they went through right, with the Papa, like, going and then deciding on the hybrid. Like, they really thought it through. And that's what we always say. We don't have a hybrid. We didn't wind up with a hybrid. We're not saying to do the same exact thing that we did, but we're just really encouraging you to think a couple of steps ahead of yourself.
So many options, so much to think about. And I think that, you know, all these podcast listeners out there really just appreciate that we talk through a lot of the things that you need
to talk through. It helps you talk through them. Do not go to an RV show, look at a price, and buy something, right?
Yeah.
Like, you got to think more about it.
Absolutely. So thank you for that lovely, lovely
and
letter.
So anyway, it will be annual. So I don't know if that was a promise or not.
Well, it might be semi-annual.
I know. Yeah.
Twice a year is semi-annual?
Yeah. Or
yeah,
is that
fall
biannual?
And spring.
What is that?
Biannual.
Right?
There you go. So listen, we'll be back in a second with tonight's featured topic, the family road trip. What's in it for mom and dad? So this week's featured topic is the family road trip, what's in it for mom and dad? And this episode is actually a sequel.
Yes, part two.
Part two, because episode 20, way back when, was called the family road trip, what's in it for the kids?
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of the episodes that I think kind of mattered a lot to people and gets brought up a lot, like
a lot.
Travel trailer one. And I was just listening to it again. It's kind of one of my favorite episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So on that episode, we talked about all the great qualities we think that RVing gives to our children. We talked about flexibility, sociability, a strong sense of imaginative play, and all these other kind of gifts that we think that RVing is giving our children, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
So what made you start thinking about this featured topic in terms of doing an episode on what it's giving us?
Well, I had hunted down an interview with a couple. Right. Veronica.
A darling couple.
They're so sweet. Veronica and David. And you're going to hear the interview with them coming up shortly.
The Gypsy Nesters.
Right. And I have been following them for years. And or maybe a little over a year, I guess it would be. And I just – they're really inspiring as an older couple. They – all of their children have flown the coop. And they are in
– The coop or the nest?
Well, you can say either.
You can say coop or nest. You could say either. I could say either.
They've left. They're off doing their own thing. And
they are adventurous.
Yes. And David and Veronica really decided we're not going to just sit around and
be all mopey and sad.
Right. Be empty nesters. That's what they said. That was the conversation they had is like, we got to get rid of this concept of empty nest. And they became gypsy nesters. And their first experience with gypsy nesting was in an RV. So I had known their story because I do follow them on Facebook and I had seen they just released a book and we'll talk about all that later. And I was like, you know what? I want to interview them. And I'm always looking. Something that's very important to me is always that older, wiser voice in life, right?
To kind of help us project into the future and hope for a wiser, older version of ourselves.
I do have a very respect your elders part of me. I love those older people that we have in our life that are just so willing to give advice and sort of guidance to young parents. It's really special to me.
To help you realize you're not permanently trapped in this moment when they're so young and things can be so stressful.
Or some of our friends that are a little bit older that have kids that are 20 and 25 and they look at you and they say you're doing such a great job, you know?
They have survived and they have thrived.
So meaningful when they give you that little bit of it. So I said, we've got to interview these folks. I've got to talk to them. And I lined up an interview. And as I was thinking through the interview with them, I realized what I wanted to think about was me, right? They're thinking about them as a couple.
Right.
That's part of their thing, is our marriage can't just be about our kids.
Right.
It has to be
about
us.
And there comes a point when that happens naturally and organically.
Yeah.
We're in the thick of it, you and I.
Right. So I said, okay, well, let me think about us. What about me and you and the two of us together? well, what does this give us?
The RVing, the traveling.
Yeah, right. What we do.
And what gifts is it giving us? Mm-hmm. Because we can get so wrapped up in giving the best to
our kids. Yes.
You know, what is it giving us? And it's giving us some great gifts, too.
So, and that's something that we talk about a lot.
So that's what we wanted to talk about tonight in the future topic. And then we'll come back after that with an awesome interview with the Gypsy Nesters. So let's dive in, why don't we?
Okay.
So, ladies first.
Oh, okay.
So the first thing you mentioned in terms of what RVing gives to you, okay, what's in it for mom, is a template for family travel. Now, there's a lot packed into that. Why don't you explain what you mean by that?
Right. You kind of like cocked your head and looked at me.
Oh, when you first told me, I was just trying to wrap my head around it.
What?
Because you're deep. You're deep like a river.
Yeah, deep
There are depths here. You're not a little stream.
All right. So what I meant by that is that we were married for 10 years before we had kids. So I have quite a sense of what we were like without kids. You know, it's not like we never had time to develop that. We always loved to travel. But what I noticed was we never had an RV. And we'd always talk a lot about the trip, or like mention going here or mention going there.
We had lots of items on the list, but we didn't.
Tons of time for things to happen.
Let's just say it. I mean, in those 10 years, we did not. We road tripped to see family. We road tripped a couple times up to Maine.
And we would do the same thing sometimes over and over again.
That's exactly what we did.
We fell into ruts.
We would head out to visit, you know, in-laws, cousins, whatever, over and over again. We really did not travel broadly at all, even though we loved traveling.
Right.
So the great irony here is 3 kids later, we're going all over, we're traveling all over the place in this great, big, beautiful country.
Yes. And I think that the RV actually plays a really important role in that. Because what it does is it takes the first few steps of the planning process and it like crystallizes them.
I have an RV. I'm going to go to a campground.
Right.
Where are there campgrounds?
Hey, you want to go somewhere?
Should we get a hotel?
Yeah.
A cruise?
In this country?
A plane?
In another country? A cruise? Right. Are we flying? Are we driving? There's all these things where it's like, where do you want to go?
It narrows down your options in actually kind of an awesome way.
Right. Now we go, okay, let's go somewhere. What region would we like to visit?
Which regions have great campgrounds?
And let's start looking at campgrounds there. Right. I mean, it really does just kind of get the show on the road,
and,
I feel like.
You know, you said that having the RV, it kind of eliminates the first few steps, but also every time we pull in at the end of a workday, that RV is staring at me.
And it does. It
that RV is talking to me. It's saying, Jeremy, when are you going to take me out again?
Yeah.
You know, it's just staring you in the face like you need to use me.
And I think many people that have RVs feel that way. You really do almost get compulsive about your travel because it's right there.
It's going to take all the up that room in the driveway. Mm-hmm. I'm going to use it. It's not like a boat that's docked somewhere far, far away. Mm-hmm. If you have your RV in storage and not in your driveway, forgive me.
Yeah.
I've dealt with that myself, but it's in the driveway now and that thing talks to me.
And we have ramped this up to a level beyond what most people do.
Yeah, it's out of control.
We're totally out of control.
We lost control a long time ago.
But still, I think that that general feeling is true for many people with RVs.
I have it.
You're always thinking about your next trip.
Whether it's a quick weekend or a family vacation.
Yeah,
absolutely. So that template for family travel, I like that. It kind of inspires us to just get out there and use it.
It just kind of like goes, yeah, this is easy. This is what you're doing. Now, where are you going to go?
Where are you taking me next, people?
Isn't that the most fun part of the question? Where are you going? All that other stuff, you know you're going to take your RV. You know you're going to stay at a campground. You know how you're going to pack, what food you're going to make. All that stuff is easy peasy. It's the same no matter where you go. But you're just picking a cool place. How awesome is that?
Easy peasy lemon
squeezy.
Yeah. Okay. You're the second person this week that I've heard say that.
Oh, okay.
One of my colleagues said that too. So the next item on your list, your personal list, your Stephanie list, your mom list, is that the family road trip in the RV helps you live in the moment.
Right. Because I really feel like the house gets so distracting. Like when we're at home over the course of a weekend, it's so easy to get sucked into like just, I've got to get this errand done. I want to clean out.
You're managing the house all weekend.
Oh my gosh. I feel, or doing errands or running from here to there. It just feels like sometimes a weekend is like a list of things to
do. And you come to the end of the weekend, you're like, what did I do?
Yeah. You're kind of like, well, what was that all about?
What did we do?
And not only that, but I feel like kids can kind of be like swirling around me in that moment.
Swirling and crashing.
Crashing into me. And then we're always like managing them, right? You're like, okay, you have to get this done. Why don't I take them to here? And it's like a management issue, not a with me issue. Like all of us being together and living in the moment.
And we do divide and conquer sometimes mm-hmm. in terms of me taking the twins or you taking Wes. Yeah. Or when we're camping, it really is more time together.
And we have to do that. We have responsibilities. We have real life. But when we go out in the RV, it's like time slows down and you're just right there. You're not worrying about all of your list of errands
and so
food shopping and gas, and I have to get an oil change and I have to do 3 loads of laundry. You're just there and you're thinking, what are we going to do together today?
And you have the basic things that you need and nothing more or nothing less.
Yeah, it really crystallizes the moment for me and helps me zoom in on not just the kids. I don't mean that. I mean us all. As a group, as a unit, and what the best way that we want to spend the day is. So I really appreciate that.
Absolutely. So on my list, the first thing I have on my list is that RVing has helped me rediscover my own backyard. And when I say my backyard, I mean that very broadly.
Yeah.
Like we live in New Jersey, and I mean from like Maine.
You mean 600 miles
I mean
north.
Like from Maine to South Carolina to the Blue Ridge Mountains.
Right.
And what I mean by that is that in those first 10 years we were married without the kids, I was dreaming about international travel.
Yes.
I mean, to me, the idea, my wanderlust, I wanted to go to Australia, to New Zealand, back to Ireland, mm-hmm. things like that. And when we had the kids, you know, all of a sudden it was about traveling closer to home.
Mm-hmm.
And I had never really discovered the incredible beauty of New England, for instance, which we can be in southern Vermont in 5 hours.
It
and it's a wonderland.
It drives us crazy that we were 5 hours away from so much of what we now
love.
We spent our whole life here,
mm-hmm. right at the bottom of New England, basically, 5 hours away from New England.
Right.
We had never explored Cape Cod, never explored New Hampshire, never explored Vermont. We went to Acadia, but that was it. So in that sense, I feel like having kids forced us to travel closer to home.
Because,
I mean, look, we're just not going to Yellowstone just yet.
And I'm so happy about that because, oh, my gosh, going to Cape May last year was like...
Oh, my God, it's heaven.
Oh,
yeah.
So awesome.
And even discovering a place like Myrtle Beach,
right.
which that's the kind of as far as we go at the
mm-hmm.
moment. That's going to change pretty soon with the kids.
But if we weren't limited, who knows? You'd be like, oh, let's go to California. Right.
Or let's go to New Zealand. And
yeah.
and I never, like, now I feel like we've really, like, I know New England.
Mm-hmm.
I know South
yeah.
Carolina. You know, I know the coastal Carolinas
mm-hmm.
in a way that maybe I would have just totally missed if mm-hmm. we hadn't had the kids and the RV.
Right.
So that was first
I
on my list.
That's
you
true.
Know, rediscovering my own backyard. The second thing, having an RV and the RV travel, I think has made me more of a man's man. And Stephanie really confirms this and makes me think this on a daily basis,
well,
just with the twinkle in her eye.
Stop it. I always have faith in you that you can do things. You've always figure a project out when you have the time and the confidence to do it.
I think it's often
but because
yeah, the time
you weren't
struggles.
Raised like being taught handyman stuff, and then you went off and you became an English major.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like writing poetry and not like changing tires.
Yeah.
But I mean, let's just say it bluntly. Buying a 6,000-pound, 33-foot travel trailer and a pickup truck makes you feel kind of cool. And kind of tough.
I think for a man, yeah, it doesn't
make me feel cool or tough, but for you, the towing, the backing up, the managing of the RV, the dealing with the propane, the black tank.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm doing basic repairs in the RV. I can change the tire on the RV, change the tire on the truck, no problem. So I do think it kind of RV ownership for a man kind of forces you back into
well,
kind of a.
Isn't it funny that I think that we do more sort of traditional like gender roles when it comes to the RV travel.
That is so true. Oh my gosh.
Home.
I had never really thought
in
of it that
home,
way. Yeah. Things are definitely
like
divided a bit more equally.
Blended
yeah.
in the way that we
I mean I mow the lawn,
yeah.
whatever.
Well,
but
you don't know how you can't dust.
But
to
the, I mean the
life,
reality
but.
Is like we both work.
Right. So
right?
it's like everything's
so
like you unload the dishwasher,
yeah.
I'll
just like
get
so
the
many
kids
people
in
our
bath.
Gender in our generation, like
right.
the gender role thing is just like being redefined, right?
Yeah.
But it is funny. Like I can't believe you said that. It's so true. I always drive.
now.
I always drive. You have never towed the travel trailer.
Yes, I have.
One trip home just recently.
Look,
but you went 3 years without towing the travel trailer. I'm reinforcing your point.
I know.
Don't give me that look.
I know.
Right? That we do. We fall back into these gender roles for previous generation. I'm out there flushing the black tank.
Yeah, and, I won't touch the black tank.
You're in there changing a diaper or whatever.
Right.
So that is funny. Gosh, I wasn't like planning on talking about that or thinking about that.
And here we are.
Awkward. But anyway. So I feel like more of a manly man and more of a handyman, I think, you know? And I actually think it's helping me take care of the house more.
Yeah. I just think
ironically.
In general, you're like, okay, I feel like every time you do a project, you do it, you feel better about it, and you feel more confident about the next one.
Another thing I wasn't exactly planning on going here was it's interesting how the RVing changes the way you think about and perceive home. And I do think it's made me care more about caring for our house. And you said something before the show about how RVing also affects how you look at our home when you come home.
I didn't know we were going to – we're all off script tonight. Okay.
But that's where it gets fun.
So I'm not a stuff person. I'm very simple. Okay.
Not like simple in the head. She's very smart.
The less stuff.
Ivy Leaguer.
Please don't say that ever again.
Oh, we're going to all kinds of strange places tonight.
The less stuff, the better. Okay, in my life. So what happens is I live with people who like to collect things.
She lives with people.
Both my husband
They're unnamed.
And my children.
They're unnamed.
Everyone I live with likes to collect random things. So there's a lot of stuff in my life. And I would have a very pared down existence. So what happens is I get used to it in the house. But then we go out in the RV.
And it's so nice to have that more simplistic level.
I love
it. Yeah.
I love it. I just love not having all the knickknacks and not having all the, like, just the debris of life. Now, don't get me wrong. There's still a lot of stuff because we have three kids.
Yeah, but we're doing a pretty good job of managing
but
the stuff
just,
in the RV.
It's all a simplified operation.
Podcasts.
So then I do get more annoyed when we get home.
You do.
I do.
You do.
I'm like, all this stuff. I always say I hate spending my time managing stuff.
Yeah, and like the laundry is such a big thing.
Yeah,
like
why do we have this
managing the laundry
much?
In this house? Like, I want to hire somebody to
like
do it for
us. I'm
like,
why do we have this much? When we go on trips for 2 weeks,
we bring a lot less.
And we're fine.
Right.
Everybody's fine.
Everyone's got their one t-shirt. So, Stephanie lets us bring a t-shirt and socks.
No. So anyway, the way we live in the RV, I tend to say, hey, how can we transfer that a little more into our life? So we spend more time doing interesting things and having fun in life and not just taking care of stuff and cleaning up stuff. Ugh.
Right.
All right.
All that being said, I love our house. I love our home. You know, I do at the end of the day. And after our long trips, I do. I love coming home.
I just wanted to have less stuff to clean up. That's all I want.
Now, the last thing, we each said we were going to drop three things for this episode. And we did that separately. And we found that we both had one of the same things. Mm-hmm. So we're going to kind of do this last one jointly. We both wrote that the family road trip, the RV road trip, gives us both our nature fix. Mm. And
I didn't say we didn't write
I
nature
said nature fix
right.
Because I like to coin, you know, kind of a little more snappy, you know.
Mm-hmm. like to be more snappy.
More memorable, okay. You know. You just like to say things.
Yeah.
But what did you mean by that, I guess?
I have always been an outdoorsy person in the sense of I've spent a lot of time outside. We grew up on the beach. You'd go to the beach all the time. Even in the winter, we'd always
you
walk the boardwalk. Oh, I always had a garden and
lots of biking.
Pots and right. We just, if anybody knows anything about growing up in a beach culture, like you do get on your bike and ride places. You
ride
do
to the
walk
beach,
more. Yeah. So it, you know, surfing, whatever it is. It wasn't that I was an indoor homebody.
Not at all.
But at the same time,
having children can change you dramatically and can force you inside more.
I
not force you, but
I felt that RVing said, "Hey, there's a lot of other outdoor activities out there that you don't engage in on a regular basis."
And since you're at a campground, why not go kayaking?
They were
why
right
not
there.
Go canoeing?
Yes. Always looking at me in the face.
Why not go fishing?
Fishing. Right.
Yeah,
fishing,
neither of us
canoeing.
Really grew up fishing. And now the boys walk by a lake or a pond and they see people fishing. And mom,
like,
dad,
can we
take
get
us
our,
fishing.
Right, can we get our poles?
So I take them fishing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little clumsy and a little awkward, but we have a lot of fun and we catch fish.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that the RVing really, I mean, for obvious reasons, right? You step out the door of your RV at a campground, you're outside.
Yeah.
You know, there's nowhere else to go. You're either in that, you know, couple hundred square feet or you're outside.
And when you go to a lot of really great RVing destinations, the focus usually is on beautiful natural experience. So when we were first seeking out so many famous RVing spots like the White Mountains of New Hampshire, I'm not sure that we would have gone there if we didn't have an RV and we were just traveling with our kids. But you go to a place like that in your RV and all of a sudden
you are.
You're hiking.
You're surrounded by it.
Every single day. You
yeah.
know?
And I just know if we did not have the RV, I'm not saying we'd be homebodies watching TV all day, but I know we would not be doing as much hiking, kayaking, biking. It just amplifies the amount of time we spend doing all of those things.
It like plops you down in the middle of the great outdoors and says, hey, what are you going to try out today? And we've taken advantage of that.
Look, we know there are a lot of you out there listening who don't own RVs and you found the podcast because you're interested and because you have this sneaking suspicion that RV owners are having more fun than you are having. You're right.
We are.
So join our ranks.
Yeah. Just buy it.
So you got anything else or you want to wrap it up?
No. Yeah.
Okay. So that was this week's featured topic, the family road trip. What's in it for mom and dad? We'll be back in a second to introduce the Gypsy Nesters and boy, oh boy, are they fun.
So after stalking them on their Facebook page and their YouTube channel and their blog for over a year now,
I think. GypsyNester.com.
Their blog, GypsyNester.com.
We've been loitering.
I decided to reach out to David and Veronica James and ask them if they'd be willing to give us an interview. And boy, did they say yes, fast, with big open arms, excited.
Kind souls that they are.
Yes.
And so sweet. And just the right tone about them.
Everything
and
about
them. And they are so adventurous. Their YouTube channel is like watching The Amazing Race.
So David and Veronica James have a new book out. It's published by Skyhorse Publishing Company. It's called Going Gypsy. One couple's adventure from empty nest to no nest at all. And then I'm just going to read a quick blurb from the back of the
read
book.
Read away, girl. Even though when I read blurbs from books, you get all mad at me.
I follow your direction. Faced with the inevitable now what moment as their last kid moves out of the house, David and Veronica James chose to view this next phase of life as a beginning instead of an ending. All right. And then down at the bottom, it says, filled with the sense of adventure and humor, Going Gypsy is the story of life after raising kids that is a celebration of new experiences. Now, what does this have to do with us, you might ask, or what's in it for mom and dad? Well, I really believe in the value of learning from people who have been through what you're going through. And also like looking forward to experiences that you're going to have in the future and almost like planning for them in your own marriage and in your own experience. So I look at them as a wonderful example of people who live life intentionally, you know, and to the very fullest and with a spirit of openness, you know, and
and taking life by the reins and not, you know, letting life smack you around, but smacking life around.
Yeah. So they spent their first year of gypsy nesting in an RV. So I thought, this is great. We've got to talk to them about that experience and all that it taught them about themselves.
So our feature topic is about being in the thick of it and the value of RVing with the kids. And this interview is about all the great fun that we're all going to have later.
Yeah.
Okay? Also, or that many of our listeners are having right now.
I also asked them to give young parents like us, because I know we have a lot of young parents listening, some of their best advice for making sure that we don't wind up maybe losing ourselves, right, in our children.
So if you're looking for some wisdom, hang on one more second. We'll be back with an awesome interview with the Gypsy Nesters. Okay, welcome back to the show. We are thrilled to have David and Veronica James with us, a.k.a. the Gypsy Nesters. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hey, well, how are you?
Hi.
Oh, we are very excited to have you.
Yeah, this is a real treat for us.
This is a super treat. So tell us, what is a gypsy nester?
Let's define our terms.
it's a made-up term, so we should define it. It's a play on empty nest and gypsies, because we travel all the time, so we're gypsy nesters.
Take us back to the moment when you became gypsy nesters.
I knew I needed a drastic change. I was what I call a crazy helicopter mom. And now I'm a recovering helicopter mom.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you. And I actually worked at the school that the kids went to. And so I couldn't go back to my desk and with none of my kids at the school. And so we just decided to sell everything and hit the road.
That was a huge part of it. But another big part of it was that we were living down in the Caribbean on the island of St. Croix in the U.S. Virgin Islands. And we had been down there for quite some time. And so we didn't see family and friends up here in the States as much as you would like to usually, because people can't just drop in down there.
Right.
And so that was part of our thinking, was that we would just take off for what we called a victory lap, just a short-term, temporary run around, see all family and friends, and then, you know, decide what to go back to the regular life after that. But it didn't work out that way.
So you were initially looking at that as like almost like pushing the reset button that first trip. You weren't planning on it lasting very long.
Oh no.
We thought probably about a year. That was back in 2008. So our son graduated and went off to college, and we sold our house down there in the Virgin Islands and came up and bought a motorhome and took off.
Yeah, actually the motorhome we bought on eBay for $3,000.
All right, so our audience wants the details on that.
Yeah,
Tell us more about the original motorhome.
What can you get for $3,000 on eBay?
Surprisingly, this one, and I think there is some luck involved, but this one turned out to be a very reliable old 1983 Chevy Class C, you know, 22 foot. It had the bed up over the cab like that, but it had everything you need. It had a kitchen and a bathroom and bed, and we discovered pretty quickly that's really all you use in your home. You know, you have a place to sit and work and a place to sleep and a place to eat and hopefully clean up and that.
Right.
And it had all of that. It just was in a much smaller space, but we really adapted to it quickly. And unlike we were thinking when we bought a 20 some odd year old motorhome, it didn't give up on us. It just kept on going and going, which was part of the catalyst that made us keep going. Instead of it being temporary, we decided, wow, we should just keep going.
So there was some sort of spiritual kinship between the two of you and the RV, apparently.
Oh, absolutely. When he finally died, which was so awful, he actually died on us. He threw a rod on Mardi Gras night. We were actually in southern Louisiana doing a story on the wild goings on in Cajun country during Mardi Gras. And on our way back to our campground, he made us, just barely got us there, labored in, and then died. It was so sad. And we got a U-Haul and put all our stuff in it, and I cried, I don't know, for half the way.
She cried like a baby. She really did. And then, well, go ahead.
So sad, but what a perfect ending.
Yeah.
That's how I want to go.
It's even better, actually, because the guy that ran the campground ended up buying it from us, and one of the people that worked for him is now living in it. So he lives on.
I know. It wasn't
life after death.
He lives on down there. And then we found another one very similar to it, a little bit newer, and ran it for another about 3 years or so, up until just recently when we downsized even more and have a little coach house camper van, now a Class B, I guess they call those.
Excellent. Let's go back to that first year on the road. What were some of the highlights of that year and some of the lowlights of that first year in terms of the RVing aspect of it?
Well, you know, we really had no idea what we were doing. And so this little story will kind of highlight how clueless we were. We, not being used to the small space, David walked in the first morning. I was in there kind of, putzing around, and he broke with what were you carrying? A broom handle. He broke the overhead light fixture.
just sweeping?
Well, no, I don't even think he was sweeping. I don't know why he had the broom.
I'm 6'2" and it's kind of small in there. And so
but he was man and he had the broom.
Right. So, it was something that a little dab of super glue would fix. So I go off to get on my bike and go to the hardware store. And with David promising he was not, if he found super glue, he wouldn't, try and do it, because he just doesn't get super glue. They don't agree. So I get back and he's got his hand on the light fixture, and the light fixture's in the on position.
Oh.
And I look at him and I'm like, I told you, don't mess with that. I'll fix it. And he, and then I look at him closer and he's got like paper towel stuck to his face. And then I said, you got to get out of here. And he goes, I can't. I've super glued myself to the ceiling with the light on.
The light was also permanently glued into the on position at that point.
So time to unplug the RV.
Yes.
So I ended up putting a whole new fixture in.
But we pried him off of it, and we learned as we went.
And then highlights, I think the obvious ones are that you get to be in fantastic new places all the time. But that was something that really struck us as we started to go along, is that, you wake up at Yellowstone or
the Redwoods.
The Redwoods are up on the northern coast of Washington. We went all the way from Maine to Southern California on that first trip. And there is just a myriad of amazing things to see across the country.
What's a favorite destination for each of you out of that big journey?
I would say, even though that's where the first motorhome died, I love South Louisiana. It's just so different, culturally from the rest of the country, and the food is fantastic and the music is fantastic, and it's a great place to spend the winter, I can tell you that.
Our first road trip was to New Orleans when Stephanie was 16 years old.
When we were teenagers.
And I had to ask her daddy permission.
Aww.
Yeah.
Did
yeah.
you get into trouble?
Say that again?
Did you get into trouble?
No. Well, actually, on the way home, we almost got into trouble. But that was with the police and not her daddy.
This is a family podcast, Veronica.
Yeah, we're not
going
to go into that.
Well, we're talking about New Orleans. I mean, come on.
Right. So, Veronica, a favorite destination for you? Or do you guys sort of share that as a favorite spot?
No, that's a good spot. I really think the first thing that really blew me away were the Redwoods. Like I said earlier, it was just, you really just feel like you're tiny. It's like, it's like you've gone into like another world.
And
it's
incredible. There's no better way to see it than to be able to pull in there and camp right beneath them, right up next to them, and be right among them.
And in a small motorhome, you guys were able to get right into all your national parks and everything like
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's one of the reasons we've kept it smaller. We like to be able to kind of get in and out of places, and then we carry our bikes on the back and we can get around on them.
Excellent. So then you guys kind of have springboarded into international travel now. I mean, looking at your YouTube channel, it looks like you've been everywhere.
We get there.
That was kind of happened later. As we went along, after we had traveled for a while and we decided we wanted to keep going, we thought, well, we've got to try to figure out some way to do this without going broke. And Veronica had worked in technology and web design all of her life, basically. And so she put together the website for us, and we just kind of kept going and writing our stories and letting people come to us and find us. And then after a few years, out of the blue, really, some tourism bureaus and, companies, cruise lines and that sort of thing started contacting us because they had seen the website and asking us if we would go places and write stories for them. And so that's turned into where we get to travel all over the place now.
Apparently they think you guys are a lot of fun.
I guess so.
And
a lot of fun.
If our listeners head over to your YouTube channel, you'll see that. And I was just telling, before the show here, I was telling Stephanie, it looks like an episode out of The Amazing Race. I mean, you guys do some crazy stuff. It's not like you're just sightseeing in Italy or France or Norway. You're really diving in. Can you tell us about some of the crazy, adventurous, or scary things you've done?
Oh, there's so many of them. I actually was such a homebody very fearful kind of person when we started out. And so one of the things that I wanted to do was conquer these fears, face them head on. And, you know, once your kids are grown, you're not so worried about yourself, you know, because they're going to, you know, they won't be fine, but they're not going to die because you die.
And that's one way to look at it.
It is. It's true.
Well, they won't be orphans.
Yeah,
there's like a whole philosophy built into that sentence.
Wow. That's a great statement. It's, yeah, I see that. Okay. Go ahead.
So I started out, you know, rather small. I went to like roller derby camp and, you know, tried zip lining and stuff like that. But, you know, we've now, jumped out of an airplane.
Fed crocodiles.
We fed crocodiles, which was pretty crazy.
And you eat some bizarre things.
Yeah, I was going to say the food thing shows up a lot.
Tell us
too.
About some bizarre things.
A lot of that stems because we're very competitive. And so if one of us, usually Veronica, says, "Oh, I'm going to try that," then I kind of have to, too. And so we've the worst thing ever, silkworms. When we were in China, we tried their live silkworms and then they fried them up and I couldn't even do it. I put it in my mouth and spit it right back out.
No, they smell so bad. Oh, yeah. My gosh. And I don't even really remember what it tasted like because I couldn't get past the smell. It was not cool.
But Veronica, the key point is it sounds like you actually ate one.
I did.
Yes, I lost that round.
But closer to home, one of our many gross food eating triumphs was we were in, where was
Montana?
That? Montana, yeah. Someplace in the middle of nowhere in Montana where they have what they call, I know this is a family show, but this is really what it's called, the Testicle Fest. And they serve Rocky Mountain oysters there. And it, you should have seen David's face.
Wait, you ate them. You both ate them?
They slice them very thin and batter them to the hilt and deep fry them. And really anything battered and deep fried you can get down is not bad. But it was the thought of doing it.
I have an idea for a title for your next book. And it's not my idea because you just said it. Gross Food Eating Triumphs.
Yes.
So if you write that book, I'm going to buy it.
Well, we definitely are planning to put a lot more of the gross food eating into this next book. There's a little in the first book. We ate donkey in Sardinia and some things like that. But we ate bugs in Mexico, crickets.
Yeah, I see. I remember some of those pictures that stand out to me, like the pictures you post on Facebook of the crickets or something like that. I was like, ooh.
Have you ever thought about doing The Amazing Race? Because I think you guys would have a chance.
We might have to look into that. I guess we might have.
Our daughter tried to convince us to do it a couple of years ago, but I don't know. It looks so exhausting. You get to be a certain age and you know.
$1 million is $1 million.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Well, I always say to Jeremy, I would love to be the couple that doesn't fight on The Amazing Race.
But we know
we'd we'd be the couple that was fighting. Yeah. Yeah.
The disintegrating marriage.
Yes.
Live on Channel 2.
Yep.
All right. So anyway, we really invited you on because I just enjoy reading your stories and seeing your perspective from the other side of raising kids. And I wanted to hear a little advice that you guys had after these adventures for us young parents who are trying to still have adventures of our own with our kids and, you know, not just like kind of wither up and go to Gymboree every weekend. So now your older selves, if you were looking at your younger selves, what would you say and what advice would you give?
Well, there's a couple of things. For people that are our age, we always say do new things together that are completely new to both of you. Mm-hmm. And travel is a great way to do that. But there are a lot of things, you know, even if you guys can jump out and, you know, take dance classes or, you know, something that's new to both of you. So I guess I would go back and say to us, you know, don't feel guilty about your date nights. I used to feel so guilty to leave the kids with a sitter and go out and have couple time.
Right.
That's so necessary. And take a date weekend. You know, it gives you a little bit of time to stop talking about the kids at dinner. You know?
It's important to remember, I think, that one of the best things you can do as parents is be a good couple, because mm-hmm. that's going to then carry over to your kids and how you raise your kids and how your kids feel about marriage and their parents in general.
Right.
But on the other side of that, we also always tried to travel with our kids, and like you're doing. And I think that there's valuable learning involved there that, that just really can't be found any other way. I mean, the kids learn about different cultures, different foods, you know, dealing with adversity and just having to, you know, problem solve in a way that they're never going to do just sitting at home.
Right. Things not being quite as comfortable as they are at home, which I guess is what Veronica was saying earlier. Like, you were a homebody and you were a little bit nervous to get out there and do different things.
Yeah, we love seeing our kids adjust to new environments. I think that is so, so important. Yeah.
And it's also a blast to see stuff through their eyes. When we traveled, you know, you see kids are so thrilled by stuff that sometimes we take for granted. So that's really cool, too.
And they help you rediscover places you've been already that are old, maybe kind of stale to you. You see those places new again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good advice there.
Yeah, thank you.
The only way Stephanie and I get couples weekends is by presenting at RV shows. Yeah. That's the only thing we've figured out.
Well, it is tough to do. We didn't get very many of them ourselves, but it is worth it when you can.
Absolutely. So tell us about the book. Tell us the name of the book, where our listeners can buy the book, and tell us what's in the book.
Okay. Well, we've talked a little about it. The book is called Going Gypsy, One Couple's Adventure from Empty Nest to No Nest at All, which pretty much sums up what happens in it. And it's about basically that first year that we were talking about, how we start when we were down on St. Croix with our son about to leave for college and having that big now what moment that really every couple has when their last child's about to leave the house. And just kind of walk through how we reacted to it and how we did it. And it goes through that first year of traveling around in that first beat up old motorhome and a lot of funny adventures. It is available at pretty much any of the book outlets. It should be in your bookstore. If not, it's certainly online at Amazon or Barnes & Noble or several other outlets. Or you can go to our website, gypsynester.com. And there's links to it there, too, of course.
All right. Now, one of the chapters in this book is titled Lessons Learned in a Walmart Park.
Teach us.
That was fantastic. Have you guys been to the Bozeman Walmart parking lot by Yosemite? Okay. That is
Yellowstone.
I mean, by Yellowstone. It's you know, you generally don't think of a Walmart parking lot being a destination, but that really is one of the best Walmart parking lots in the whole world, I'm guessing.
Yeah. No, it's
but
great.
It's all these people who have just been to Yellowstone are going to Yellowstone, and it's so much fun there. It's great. So one morning I woke up and I was looking out, you know, having my coffee and sitting in the front seat, and there's this VW bus there, you know, one of those old ones, and this family was living in it, or at least, you know, in it. And, you know, so I have to know how they're doing this, you know, so I go over there and it was amazing. They were going around the world. They were from Germany and they were going around the world in their VW bus he was about two years old.
I guess, yeah.
And I just thought that was the most amazing thing. Yeah. And it just taught me what I thought was my big adventure could be bigger.
Yeah, well, life can look a lot of different ways, right?
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. We probably should add one little tiny bit of explanation in case I think most of your listeners know about RVing enough, but it is allowed at most Walmarts to simply park for the night and stay, go to get some sleep, get some rest in your RV. And so that's why we were in a Walmart.
We've done that twice, and Stephanie swears she will never do it again.
But now I've adjusted.
So I'm very thankful that you just told that story.
If we ever go to Bozeman.
You mean when we go?
No, right. We can stay in that Walmart.
Right.
Well, that's a great one. But we do it a lot, and we've never had any trouble with it. And we'll be in one again here soon, I'm sure.
Well, we have a travel trailer, so we don't have, like, we can't run off a generator or anything like that. So every night that we've spent in a Walmart parking lot has been hot and stuffy, and kids have been awake. So I don't have good memories.
No, it does depend on what you're traveling in.
Yeah, we were down south. You guys were up there in Montana or Wyoming.
Well, we try to be like geese. We try to follow the weather, go south in the winter and north in the summer.
That sounds mighty good to me. So tell our listeners, where can we follow along? What other social media channels? Where can we find all your good stuff?
We're pretty much on everything. We're Gypsy Nester on everything, except for Facebook, where we're Gypsy Nesters.
Okay. Now, do you have any exciting trips coming up in the future that you can tell us about, or are you just book touring away right now?
Well, we're doing some of each. We're headed off actually day after tomorrow to head through the center of the country and visit family and friends again, but also do some book events while we're traveling. We'll be down in Nashville, Tennessee on June the 6th, right when this is airing. So if you're in Nashville, come and see us at Bookman Book Woman. And then we're going to go up to Quebec in July. Like I said, follow like geese. Nice. Up there for a little while. And then we have a big trip coming up in August where we are going for the first time for us ever to Africa.
Whoa. Okay.
Yeah, and that's going to be really cool because we're going with an outfit called Discover Corps, which is a volunteer tourism group. So we'll be working at a school in Tanzania at the foot of Mount Kilimanjaro.
Okay.
So, and then we're going to kind of take off and do things on our own.
We're pretty excited. That's number 6 out of the 7 continents for us.
Oh, that's congratulations. Fantastic. And I just want to say to our listeners, I really encourage you, no matter what stage of your life you're at, to follow along with David and Veronica, because I'm in a completely different part of my life right now. And yet watching this couple navigate their relationship after kids reminds me that I need to tend to my relationship now with kids. So thank you very much for that, you know, reminder in your story.
And we just ordered their book, and you should too, to all our listeners out there. It looks great. We're really excited to read it. And we hope to have you guys back on the show someday.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks. I hope so.
Yeah. David and Veronica James, thank you so much for coming
you.
On. We really appreciate your
thanks,
time.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for joining us for episode 38 of RVFTA, The Family Road Trip, What's in It for Mom and Dad. Join us next week for a smackdown.
Oh, yeah. Private versus public.
We're going to do it. We've talked about it since we started the podcast. Next week, we're going to tackle this for reals, people.
Big debate.
Right. Big smackdown. Which is better, public or private campground?
Snarkiest comments that we ever get on Facebook and in email.
Totally.
Are
people giving their opinions.
Always about public
and it's
or private.
Those public campground people who are like, why do you spend
people.
That extra $10 a night for all that awesome stuff? We spent $10 less. And we have so much fun, and we love nature more than you.
The private campground people are, it's like, oh, it's so much fun, it's so clean, go ahead, build your tent in the woods.
You go stay in your state park with its dirty bathroom. But anyway, listen, drop us a note. Tell us what you prefer. Are you a public campground person, a private campground person? Which do you prefer and why? And you can't take the middle road, people, because we might do that.
We're going to take the middle road. We're reasonable.
Maybe we will.
You need to be unreasonable. All right. All right, we'll talk to you
then. Join us next week for episode 39 of RVFTA.
All right, see you at the campground. Public or private?
Public, private. Well, will we see? If we go to the private campground,
some
of our listeners, we ain't going to see that.
Oh, but we'll see you at the public one.
I know a few of our listeners didn't come to the rally because it was a private campground.
Private
and had like a pool and stuff, and that like offends them,
we
I
don't
think.
Do
you
that.
Know? Oh, there's a playground there? I'm not going to go there.